some of us men out here love to stick out your chest and I am this and I am that and I'm the leader in this home and I whatever I say go and this thing and the next thing. When you don't live by it, you have no principles, you don't have no kind of rules, you don't have no kind of goal set for where you're gonna take your family in 2024.
Born to achieve. Welcome to Born to Achieve podcast, the show that inspires and motivates you to unlock your full potential and achieve your goals. With your host, Warren Andrew Pinder. Let's get started on this week's episode of Born to Achieve. Born
to Achieve. I am born to achieve, and so are you. Here on another episode of the Born to Achieve podcast. Today, we have Mr. Delano Archer, who's been with us, giving us those provocative and quite interesting dialogue on topics that hopefully would have touched and really brought home some pertinent points. But we're going deeper today, and here with us, sitting with Delano and myself, is Dr. Cheyenne Williams. And the reason for this was Mr. Archer, touched on some things about men and supposing to be providers, and he said some other things, and Dr. Williams may have a different view. So we thought that it would have been quite interesting for us to bring on today and somewhat correct Mr. Archer if he was wrong or call him out. So here we are, Ms. Dr. Cheyenne Williams. Welcome to the Born to Achieve show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Right. So like LD says, if you go, LD, what you have to say?
Well, I'm Dr. Williams. I met her. Actually, it's interesting how I met her. She was on a talk show, and she really impressed me. And the first time I ever did in my life was to call. She sent out a number, and I called her. And then we connect. I lost my phone, and then we recently connected. But I'd like her to introduce herself first and tell us about herself.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, listening audience. My name is Dr. Williams. I serve as the director of the juvenile facilities at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services. I am a 17-year veteran educator under the Ministry of Education. I'm also a beauty school owner. I run the beauty school, Faces of Beauty, School of Cosmetology and Workforce Training. And I am a mentor. I have a certification in Introduction to Psychology. I am also a youth leader, registered under the Ministry of Youth, two organizations, one that specifically deals with at-risk young men called From Boys to Promising Young Men. I am also a Bahama host, trainer, registered with the Ministry of Tourism. I also sit as the chair of the Bahamas Bureau of Standards and Quality for Beauty Trades, where we are writing regulations and putting rules in place and standards for the beauty trades industry. I am also a reserve police officer with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and where I serve my country to the fullest. So there is a little bit of Dr. Williams.
So there's a wealth of knowledge here. Now, Dr. Williams, I am asking you to address three things today, if you could. One is what do men want out of a woman? Because they need to hear that from a woman. These young men need to hear that from a woman's perspective. And then I would like if you can address abuse and integrity, because they all tie together somehow. Not in a synchronous way, but they tie together. So, Yoko.
I got a feeling this could be a good show.
Okay. So first, we're going to address what do women want from men?
Yes.
Okay, so as a woman, as a strong black woman, I seek opportunities and not much security. But when I'm looking from the perspective of relationship, I am seeking security from a man that is willing to be there to, one, love me, take care of me. And when I say take care of me, it doesn't only speak to financial needs, but the top need when it comes to taking care of me as a woman would be emotionally and not really focusing on the financial needs of myself, because I'm one who believes in being able to bring something to the table, as we would put it. So I'm not really going to be a wife or girlfriend that is dependent, but emotionally I expect a man to be there for me. So apart from that, we want our mind to be somewhat at ease from time to time, meaning you want to leave me with a sense of knowing that you care, you're going to be committed, you're genuine, you mean what you say, you're going to be integral about what you say and actually do as you say you're going to do. So things like that is what we expect out of a man. Most men look at it at a woman and think about, okay, let me give her this $200 and be straight, she's straight. Or they think, anyway, financially, a woman would be satisfied. Whereas a girl would be, or your little thing would be. But when you're talking about a structured, strong woman who is really in it for growth, you would want to meet those type of needs that she would be looking for.
Wait, hold on. We skating around now. See, you talking to these young men and women. There's a big something missing out there. You say, you know, all be taking care of you emotionally and all other things, right? But see, today is what they right here right now. But I ain't need no man because I can take care of myself, right? We all adults here, and they gotta understand that the physical and that ain't really. You understand? We gotta bring it because. A lot of weight, on the physical aspect of it.
Right. So, I am a divorce. Okay. And I have a lot of people that ask me, will you get married again? You would get married again? I say, of course. You know, marriage is a beautiful thing. I say to them as well, a woman needs a man. That's point blank. God created woman and man. He created man. And out of man, he created woman. So a woman needs the companionship of a man. I don't believe in the fact that women say, I can do it by myself and I can this and that. No, that will not work. So I still stand by the principles of, yes, we want to do some things. Yes, we could do some things by ourselves, but that's good. So you find a man or let that man find you, match your energy, and you all put it together and move forward. But at the end of the day, a woman needs a man. That's how I see it.
Yep, though, Andy. Thank you for using your words.
Yeah, so let's address abuse, because abuse is a very critical area in relationships, whether you're married or not.
Right.
And so that, I think, is a very destructive agent in a relationship. So, Yoko.
So, yes, I do believe abuse destroys the relationship, because one, speaking from a woman getting abused, once a man starts to abuse her, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, she loses trust in him, because obviously if she stays, he comes and apologizes, and then she feels as though things are going to be back to normal. So the more he does it, the less trust she has with him and believing what he says. So eventually, mentally, she's going to move out. She's going to leave until that physical part of it kicks in. So abuse destroys the relationship. Abuse can cause a woman to destroy herself. So a man and a woman can be together, he destroys her, she allowed it to destroy herself. So he's with somebody totally different, totally different from who he got into the relationship with. So there again, right there, he sees that she probably stopped taking care of herself. She stopped putting time into herself. She stopped checking. So he's now not attracted, don't care, and he finds somebody else. So relationship destroyed. So it is so many different ways that abuse can cause issues, can cause a woman to lose her mind, and then cause physical harm between the two of them in this relationship. So that would ultimately lead to hopefully, or if it ends well, separation rather than somebody being physically injured or, you know, meet their demise. So abuse is not okay. That is why when we see the red flags as women, or in some cases men, we must make up in our minds to leave. We must stop taking the apologies and the cries and the I'm going to do better and you believing in it. Because like I said, you guys, when we spoke last time, we are made to believe that marriage, once we get married, we're going to live in the perfect house with the dogs and the picket fence and everything is going to be blooming around us, and we're going to have a stress-free life, which is not the truth. So we need a lot of counseling. We need a lot of exposure before we even talking about getting into relationship, because women today do not know how to date. You do not need to meet somebody and go into a relationship with them. Dating is a process where you're just getting to know the person. If it takes you 3 months, if it takes you 6 months, if it takes you 2 years, date the person until you feel comfortable to commit to a relationship. Y'all men, you go out to Subway with y'all, that's my girl. That's my girl. They own you after that, or you can't go to space, or you can't do that, or who this is you're talking to? No. Take time. And as a family life educator as well, I always teach my teens, take time to date and stop rushing into things that you're not supposed to. You know, it is no rush. What's the rush for? Now, of course, you know, the males always, yeah, Miss Dr. Williams, you know, we have to, but I say girls at the same time, listen, you hear what they saying about y'all? Take time and date. You don't need to be rushed into nothing. So that is where, when you get into a relationship, you would better know the person, and the differences wouldn't be so much, or it'd be something known to the other person, whereas you can accommodate it, or, you know, kind of deal with it and speak about it and come up with a solution. But rushing into relationship causes destruction and causes abuse.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, it may be a hard question, I don't know. But when you are in an abusive relationship, it's very difficult for you to make that decision to get out.
Extremely. Extremely, especially if you have children.
What do you do? Is it prayer? Is it time? I mean, how do you make that decision to get out of that abuse, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical?
Well, you would first have to assess the situation. You would have to have that conversation with yourself and weigh out the good and the bad. And from my experience, the bad outweighed the good by far. So I'm a person of the Christian faith. So I prayed. And I just asked God to lead in the direction He thinks that I should go. And I stayed in it for 20 years through all kind of problems and fights and, you know, everything you could name. And one thing I realized too is when you have children and you're in these situations, you think you're protecting them, or you should stay because it's better for them. It really isn't. And you would think you're hiding these things from them. But in actuality, these children, for some reason, they know. So when you're thinking you're protecting them, you're just making it worse because you're leaving them in a toxic environment. That is not good. So for years, I would have done that, and the outcome would really not be good because it would just lead to a lot of counseling for your children acting a certain way. And the thing about it is, what I learned is, my children, when the school is regular, and they were honor roll student and making high GPAs, passing exams. But this is also an effect of living in a toxic environment. The children would either do extremely bad, fail, and start doing stuff, or they soar and they do well, which is not a bad thing. But at the same time, what is causing them to do these things is not a good thing. So you would really want to remove yourself from the situation as best as possible, asking God for wisdom. You pray, but you don't just sit right there in the bed and say, Lord, I pray. You have to act on it. So one like me, I went to school. Keep going to school. It was a fight even going to school. Why do you have to go back to school? What happened to your diabetes? You know, I did extra jobs. I did everything I could have done to better myself. So before I made that conscious decision to move on, I mentally left the situation. Mentally, I left it. Physically, I was still there, but mentally, I was just gone because my focus now was on how am I going to do better? What am I going to do in the event that I had to deal with my children alone? So hard work was something I could not be afraid of. So I worked and I worked and I still did the normal as a wife would. But I know that at the end of the day, his words, his apologies were just words, manipulation, and no change behavior. So I knew at the end of the day, at some point, before he killed me or I injured him and I had to be gone away from my children, I had to make the conscious decision to say, okay, it's time to go. You know, it got so bad, whereas I had to start recording him when he come with these apologies and admitting to what he did, because I thought of him as a madman, because you can't be apologizing and saying you're sorry and apologizing for these things you know you did, but in the same voice, you making death threats to this person. You want to kill me, you want to this and that. I can't leave you and this thing and the next thing. So I had to make the conscious decision that I have to live for my children. Abuse is not the way to go. I knew it was getting bad when I attempted to jump out of a moving vehicle 2 times. I had to say to myself, you know what? This is not gonna work.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. We'll be right back.
Achieve Man, written by Warren Andrew Pinder and Dominique Bradford. This book passionately focuses on the challenges women have been made to go through and how to overcome them. In some cultures, being a woman disadvantages the girl child. This book carefully exposes the hurdles you might face. This masterpiece is the ultimate self-help guide for women. It reveals your true purpose and identity. Get your copy today. Available from Amazon.
We now return to today's podcast.
Icing on the cake was when he said to me, "Who? I don't take you serious. I don't take you serious. You know, I'll take you serious when I see the boss papers." That was it. I sat in a corner and I said, all the years I've been explaining to this man, I've been telling him how I feel, I've been doing what I had to do, he didn't take me serious. So you have to show him these papers to show him you're serious. And that's just what I did. So abuse is not okay. There will be red flags. You have to sit and think about the things that happened to you. You have to think about how you lost yourself. Look at where you was when you met this person. And if you have elevated, if he tries to segregate you from your family, if he doesn't want you to go certain places, if he follows you and follows you around and take it as a joke, you know, do these little things that you should be making note of, then you know for a fact, especially if the abuse becomes very mental and physical, it's time to check out. Trust me, prepare yourself and look to God because he will provide.
Man, Dr. Williams, that's powerful, right?
That's powerful.
I can tell you something, because as you speak, we need to be able to somehow, what we say, try and interject, right, with the children, Those who are really listening to this, right? We need to interject with the children to understand, because we don't want them to grow up and say it's okay.
Right.
You know, we don't want to, we need to break that cycle. We need, we're trying to make sure
that for them to believe it's normal.
It's normal. See, because it's not ordained to be like that.
Right.
And we need to try in our capacity with persons that would listen to be able to let the children know that, hey, you see mommy and daddy going through.
Right.
You understand? But is the glue really are the children.
Right.
You know, and you and the children have some voice too to stand up and say, you know, I mean, not disrespectfully, but it got to be some type of thought process to get involved and to get in the middle of this, you know, so they'll understand that that could be a conscience to both. You know what I mean? If it's maybe better to leave for the sake of the children.
Right.
Or if you're going to, if you can try and work it together.
Yeah.
You know, I remember you gave us, when we spoke last, you gave an analogy, you know, the analogy of the broken glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could explain that, because sometimes it don't, when you try and you try and you try.
Yeah, because you know, the drinking glass, you know, when we purchase the glass that we, you know, drink our wine and our apple cider out of, the glass is perfect. You know, the glass is very perfect. No cracks, no nothing. But when we broke the glass and we try to piece it together, the fragments, you can still see where the pieces are together. That glass is not able to, you're not able to drink of that anymore. No matter how perfect you put those pieces back together, that will be broken glass. It will be a broken glass. So when we broke something, the trust is gone. Everything is gone. And no matter how you try to fill it back to where it was when it started, you will not, get
it. Man, y'all got to listen to that. You know what I mean? For all of us, we got to listen to that. Sometimes we do things that really, you know, we offend our partners, and we got to understand that that trust, you know, like that same analogy, the glass, what Dr. Jones just spoke about, that's something for us to really think about. But you go, LD.
Yeah, so I would like you now, we're going to close on this one, right? I would like her to address integrity, because I think that's a very important topic, because what she just said is the opposite of that, is integrity. See that broken glass, you can't put that back together.
Yeah.
But if you have integrity, you ain't gonna break your glass.
You got a point. You got the point well taken. So Dr. Williams, let me hear what you say.
So the dictionary describes integrity as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Okay? How is it that a man is going to be integral if he is not living by no principles? He has no morals.
Boy, you march some doors. You drop a mall on someone's foot.
I strongly believe in a man being integral, because according to Bible, the man is the leader of the home. You understand? The man, I see a man as the leader, the head. And I think this is the way that God has it to be. And if you are a man that has a family and you are to lead your family and you have no plan, no GPS, no map, no site to lead this family, where are we going? The road to lead us to anywhere. We don't want to be uncertain on where we're going. So a man must know where he is going. Mm-hmm. He has to be integral. He has to be honest. He has to be able to say, I'm going to do this, and keep his word. Not even only with the family, but as a man of business, as a man on the job, as a man, he needs to have a reputation of being integral. That will gain him his respect. You understand? A woman don't want to be out there and someone say, yeah, that's John's wife. Boy, John could lie. Hey, he still owe me this thing and the next thing. And you, like, it's embarrassing for your, even your children. Okay? Or John sees his friend. But John's friend see him and John Helen. But the only thing going through that friend's head is, boy, I wonder when he could say, he give me this $200 he owe me from year before last. He here smiling, hating me, but the only thing I can think about right now is that $200 he owes me. So integrity is a big thing. Some of us men, our men out here, love to, you know, be stick out your chest and I am this and I am that and I'm the leader in this home and I whatever I say go and this thing and the next thing. When you don't live by, you don't have no principles, you don't have no kind of rules, you don't have no kind of goal set for where you're gonna take your family in 2024. You don't have no map to where the future will lead y'all in the next 5 years. You paid rent for the past 15 years and you don't even have a dollar saved. Or thinking about, okay, how am I going to own a home for my children that I have here? You don't have none of these things in place. Integrity, 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 you know, is a serious thing. How can a man be integral, divorce his wife, and then when he divorces his wife, divorce the children?
Now for a commercial break.
Achieve Men, written by Warren Andrew Pinder. In this book, you will learn the 7 steps to achieving your dreams and goals. Given the vision to share how the acronym of the word ACHIEVE can be used systematically in your day-to-day life. Each of us is given a unique gift from God. Get your copy today. Available in print, ebook, and audiobook from Amazon.
We now return to today's podcast.
His wife divorced him. He divorced the children.
Say it again, man. Expand on that part. Expand. You know, how could you divorce your children?
You divorce the children because when the wife said, enough is enough, I can't take it no more. Okay, let me say you could pay these bills. Let me say you could take care of these children. I said, but the children is made up of 50% you and 50% me. It's not my responsibility. And he does just that.
Spiteful.
You know, the next thing, I looking to have y'all homeless. I want to sell this house from under y'all. You understand? What kind of man of integrity does that? So, as a man, and men, I just wrote a program for you guys who your relationship would not have worked out. You find it yourself struggling to catch, I don't know, to go around your children. Your children don't have nothing to do with the relationship that was lost. Your children will always be your children. Take care of your children because trust me when I say this. Trust me, you will not be happy and live a prosperous life. God promised you that, not me. God promised me that you would promise that you would be worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. So you do what's right. You and the woman don't have to have no conversation. Your children hurts at the end of the day. You may not realize it. You may not even be mature enough to realize what's going on. But be integral and take care of what belongs to you. That is the only way it will work for your future. A guy said to me, how could a man laugh and say his ex is struggling, but she has children for him? Doesn't that mean the children struggling too? So food for thought. Food for thought.
Dr. Ewan said, really, you're a real woman.
Listen to me. You hit me hard just now because you talked about having a plan for your family. That's very serious, you know.
Extremely.
And that's one of my failures. Because I get stuck on providing, but you have to have a plan for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You hit me just now, boy. That's some real stuff.
She's on with that. She on point with some things.
She put me in school.
Yeah, she on some point with some things. See, one of the things, right? What causing us and it going right back down to our young men and women, right?
Yeah.
People don't realize you're using these children as pawns.
Right.
You're playing chess to get back at one another or to make us feel better. But man, like you say, your children
to make us current.
Exactly. Your children should be the cement. You know what I mean? To work it out. If you and the woman ain't to be together, you can't, how do you divorce your children?
Yes, and it's so sad. It is so sad. It is so, so sad. And the thing about it is, I can speak to it because at the point when my ex did pick up our 8-year-old son in the beginning, because he's been seeing him for almost, he hasn't picked him up for almost a year.
And but shame on him.
Story. In the beginning.
Shame on him, but.
When my son comes home, he comes and he automatically drops everything and he hugs me. And he said, "Mommy, I love you. I love you so much." And I say, "Yes, big boy, I love you too. Why you don't call me?" You know, all kind of excuses with, you know, but he said, "But I love you." And he says, "I promise you, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about nothing, okay, Mommy?"
You got to be the father now.
I'm like, "I'm good, you know. I sound good." That told me from the training and the experience and the research that I did when he was in a different environment, what he was hearing. So he felt like he had to come and protect this mommy, which I guess he heard nothing but bad, negative stuff about. And he felt it. He felt, this is why I do not badmouth their father to them, not at all. So he felt that because I love them more than I love him. So whatever it is I have to do to protect them and their mental state and health, I do. So it showed me that he was hearing some things that he knew was in a lineup, and he felt like it put me in a position where he had to come and love me. He had to come and love me. I kid you not, every single day, 2-3 times a day, my son comes to me, "Mommy, I love you, you know. I love you so much. Don't worry about nothing yet. I'm going to take care of you." When I'm feeling a certain way, this boy, he has to be God sent. His name is Jeremiah. He's in a prophet for nothing. He said, "Mommy, you okay?" 8 years old. He says, "Mommy, you know you could tell me anything." I said, "Yes, Jeremiah, I know I could tell you anything." So he feels me. Yes. He feels me because a little short story here. Before there was my Jeremiah, there was a Joshua. And God promised me this Joshua, and he gave me this Joshua. But 4 months I suffered with Joshua as Joshua suffered from a deadly cancer called neuroblastoma. So 4 months I was in the States with him, and God said he had to take me to this unfamiliar place. And he dealt with me, he talked to me, he spiritually filled me, he anointed me, he took me to another level spiritually. But he told me, "I'm taking Joshua, but I'm going to give you a Jeremiah."
Powerful.
And with all the hurt, the pain and everything, and me trying to save Joshua, Joshua was gone. 21 days before he told me, "I'm going to take Joshua in 21 days. I said, "Lord, if it's your will." 21 days before I called everybody home, 3 or 4 persons, 21 days Joshua will be out. So when I came, brought him home, I made sure bring him home before the 21 days up, and that's exactly 21 days my Joshua was gone. In exactly 9 months, my Jeremiah was here. So God is real, people. And I say that to say, these children, in spite of what the age is, they will do just what you taught them to do. And exactly what God says they will be and they will do, they will do. It will come to pass. So Jeremiah is my prophet, and he doesn't know exactly what is going on. But in his spirit, as young as he is, he comes and speaks to God, uses him to speak to me.
You see how that go when dealing with young people, right? That above them,
right.
But they're forced into having to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
and that's a serious thing with trying to ensure that these kids live out their full life,
yeah.
And their purpose. We changing their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, what we talking about. When we, you know, we changing that child's purpose.
Yes.
So that child can't wait for them from an early age,
mm-hmm.
And not really, you know, and at the end of the day, a lot of our young men today living out, you know. But Dr. Williams.
Yes, sir.
We are on behalf of Delano and myself, right? What you don't know is that we expect you back here.
Right.
Right, with all this wisdom and discernment that we've been hearing, right? Because I'm sure the listening audience can want to hear more of what you brought in. We spoke with some things where we know some topics, some real life topics that you know, from men, getting a man perspective, and like Delano said, we can't answer it.
Right.
Because we only speaking from our experience.
Right.
You know, it's our opinion, like the viewers, and they always tell Ellie, the views and opinion is that of, you know, but
right.
Here now we have a real life woman really bringing it breaking it down for us. And I think, man, this is excellent. And persons will gather. Some people can be, no, tell them, no, you don't want to do that, because they can come asking for you, right? Especially them men that the plan which you wrote for them, they did that.
They, a lot of them need it because they find it difficult, because, you know, they was in a relationship, I guess they loved, and then they hurt the woman, and the woman couldn't take, whoever caused it, however it is, men hurt, yes, they do. But my plan is to show them the children aren't responsible. Don't take it out on the kids.
But LJ, I want you to answer this one before we go, right? See, what they want you, you know what? A man can look at a woman, right? Mm-hmm. As long as he had her, he was good, you know. She's looking beautiful and mm-hmm. fine, and mm-hmm. she's doing well, right? And you trying to hold her as if you want her. Mm-hmm. But the minute she go, boy, you don't want no one else. You don't want no one else. Trouble in the cap.
But you don't own a woman.
No, man.
And that's what we gotta come to grips with. And men are simpler than women, you know. Now, that's something for you to digest.
Say it again, but speak up. Let them hear that. Say it loud. People ain't hear what you say. Repeat what you just said.
That's a hard pill.
But you gotta repeat it first.
Men are simpler than women. You gotta understand that. That's a hard pill to digest.
Accept.
You got me there.
Yeah, accept.
You got me.
See, men have to accept. So what you saying is we gotta look up to women.
You have to understand the wisdom of a woman.
There you go. There you go.
All right?
There you go.
But we don't want to accept that because we think that we wiser than them.
Boy, my wife had this right now. I always tell you, listen to me. You know.
Hold on. We leaders, you know. We leaders.
So you say we better leaders than them.
Hold on. We leaders.
That's women.
I say we leaders. Yeah. Right? And they will follow. But you have to accept their wisdom.
Hold on.
What destroyed every king that you know about? It was a woman. Put that in your pipe and smoke that.
No, I ain't gonna burn that.
I totally agree. And I agree. And what made me to agree more with that statement, listening to Dr. Miles speak something about his life, saying that he would not be in the position where he is today without his wife's support and what she did. So, men are the head, but without that neck to hold you up,
holy shoot.
You understand? The body and everything just fall right away. So, you need that neck. And then, how I see it is, men are strong and they carry the weight of the family. Women, to me, for me, I have vision and I seek God for vision. And when I tell my partner the vision, is our job to work together. And if he has an input or he has something, we can work together with it. But I see myself as that wife who have vision and who can steer the ship that the man is leading, you know. So I'm crew.
I just gonna ask you that.
I'm
captain of first mate.
I'm crew.
He is the captain. Yeah.
So this is how we have to look at it in order for us to have successful, healthy relationships. Some men refuse to allow a woman to have say. But in actuality, she's meaning the relationship well. She's not trying to take away from you being there. She's just trying to guide the relationship a bit. But some men see it as, oh, you think you is, and, you know, very immature about it. So that's where the confusion and the...
Wait, Ellie, you got the last word. I can't wait.
Yeah, she said a mouthful there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I just... I ended on this one. On a ship, you got a captain and you got a mate. She brought it up. Yeah. She must either read my mind, because I always talk about this.
Yeah.
And you got to decide which one you is. You see? But everybody won't be the captain. Someone got to be the mate. Now, they can do both roles, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a captain and there's a mate.
Because the captain got to go to sleep.
But who's
and the keep, ship got to go.
But who's keeping the boat together?
Okay.
The mate.
The mate. That's what I just said. The mate got to know. The mate got to know the captain. But the captain, he got to know. Yes. I guess I'm going to say, you're right. The, yes. The mate got to know the captain do it. Otherwise, the two, you know what I mean? Captain got to sleep sometimes.
Problems. The mate needs to know when to stand down.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, that's a two-edged sword.
Oh, man, this being real, real, real good. And Dr. Williams, trust me, we're going to be back with some people.
Yeah.
I'm sure they enjoying this today and they're going to want to hear more.
Yes.
So we look forward to that.
My pleasure.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Born to Achieve. Born to Achieve. We hope you found it informative, inspiring, and motivating. Born to Achieve. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Stay focused on your goals, and we'll see you on the next episode of Born to Achieve.
Born to Achieve. Born to Achieve. Born to Achieve. Born to Achieve.